Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The topic of children who identify as transgender or gender dysphoric has become even more tense with the issuance by the Department of Education and Department of Justice, the directive they sent demanding all schools in the nation open the girls' bathroom, locker, and shower rooms to boys and vice versa or lose federal funds. The directive even goes to demand schools allow boys to play on the girls' sports teams, change official school records to coincide with who that student thinks he or she is. Schools are directed to ignore the outcries from the community and parents since they don't understand and are bigots anyway. And, this is just a terrible directive. And my guest again today is Dr. Michelle Gritella, president of the American College of Pediatricians. Thanks, Dr. Gritella.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be back.
I got it right that time. You know, this whole thing with Obama's issuance of
It's frightening.
It is very frightening. And, plays right into the whole thing with our kids are being used as guinea pigs in a great social experiment.
It is. There's really no other way to look at it.
Yeah.
You're right.
And in the previous program, we actually didn't get started looking at the 8 points, but we talked briefly about the short statement that you had issued, the American College of Pediatricians had issued in March, entitled Gender Ideology Harms Children, and you're going to be issuing a full statement in the summer. So let's start looking at the 8 points that you have here. The first one is human sexuality is an objective biological binary trait. XY and XX are genetic markers of health, not genetic markers of a disorder. Now, we're being told that there's a third sex out there. You're saying that's not the case?
Now, look, genetics tells us if you are male, you have a Y chromosome. If you're missing a Y chromosome, you are female. Okay, genetics is quite clear. You have male or female.
Does biology matter anymore?
And biology matters. Okay. Biology matters because it's physical reality.
Unfortunately,
What I do want to say, because what the transgender activists do is they throw in, oh, but there are disorders of sexual development, and you can have girls who are virilized. And we just have to calmly say, what did you first say? You said girls. And virilized. Okay, these are girls, biological girls, who, through a medical disorder, their own bodies produced too much testosterone. This has nothing to do with transgender.
This
has nothing to do with gender dysphoria. This is a sexual disorder, a disorder of sexual development. That is a biological condition.
Okay.
And they so-called transgenderism is not a biological condition. It is a psychological condition.
And they also throw out, the issue of the intersex.
Right, and that's partly what and even the name, the word intersex, really, we have that. But it implies that you have someone who is part woman and part man.
Right.
No. You have a disorder of sexual development.
Okay,
you don't have someone who is, has a fully functioning ovary on one side of the body and a fully functioning testes on the other.
Okay.
You do not have someone who is part man and part woman.
Because when you look at the alphabet soup they've created, a lot of times you see the I stuck in there, the G, L,
B, T, I, A. Oh, absolutely. They do that. They do that to try and give themselves credibility.
Okay. Wow. Which they're totally not credible. So there's no third sex. So let's go down to number two. No one is born with a gender. Everyone is born with a biological sex. Gender and awareness and sense of oneself as male or female is a sociological and psychological concept, not an objective biological one. So,
gender is talking about it's your thoughts and your feelings. It's not concrete. We are born male or female, and our thoughts and our thinking about ourselves can either be in line with reality or not in line with reality.
Okay.
And so in that sense, our thinking, our feelings, they develop over time, and they can be normal thoughts and normal feelings, you know, normal thoughts
right.
and feelings in line with reality, or we could be confused. We could be confused about ourselves, mistaken about ourselves. That's what we're talking about here. But what the activists are doing, they're treating gender as if it is something concrete, as if it is a concrete
okay.
trait that we can localize in the brain or somewhere else in the body, and that's baloney.
So they're confusing, so if I'm getting this, they're confusing the term, the word sex and the word gender, because you're born
they're
with a specific sex.
They're conflating the two, yes.
Okay.
You're right.
I think
mm-hmm. when gender was first invented and initially used, it was clear that gender and sex went together, but now they're trying, they're basically dividing the two and saying, oh, no, your gender identity is a separate thing. But no way. No,
well, yeah.
We're talking about thoughts and feelings. It's not a separate concrete trait.
Yeah,
no.
I can remember the term gender back in English class, where when you would differentiate between a feminine noun or a masculine noun.
Yeah,
or
it, right, the romance languages.
Yeah.
All the, that's right.
Wow.
Sure, the romance
languages.
But
yeah, and that's
the gender
thing,
and biology went together, and now they're sort of, oh, what is it? You know, you talk about linguistic engineering.
Yeah.
You know, the language changes first, and then the culture follows.
Right, 1984, I believe
yep.
that was. I believe
right. There you go.
That
yeah.
has been written about. So the way that you think about yourself, as far as male or female, that's sort of a social construct.
It's influence. You know, the way you think. Typically, it's going to go together. I mean, there is definitely a relationship with our biology, absolutely. Gender and sex go together. But it is open to outside influences.
Okay.
It can be...
So
I'll tell you this. An atheist psychologist contacted me at the college to thank me for the statement that we put out on this issue. And he said, Dr. Critella, if you can help people understand that for many of these children, believing they're the opposite sex is a defense mechanism for them. There is something underlying, you know, maybe subtle family dynamics. And he said, it does not have to be. He says, I'm not implying that there's abuse in all these families, but there can be subtle family dynamics such that the child misperceives something and believes that by being the other sex, they would be more lovable.
Get more attention.
He said it can be very subtle. And from his experience, he said they are suffering. His words were, yes, these children and families can suffer, but it's not from lack of bathroom access.
And that was from
he was an atheist.
Wow.
Know?
And that leads right down to the third point in the statement, which is a person's belief that he or she is something they are not is, at best, a sign of confused thinking.
Right.
So even he recognizes that.
And that's essentially what he was saying. And
right.
in fact, he was the one who said to me, you know, he said it's really hard when you're talking about family influence and kids. But he said, you know, try to help people understand that we all have mistaken beliefs about ourselves, all of us.
Oh, yeah.
And the ones that come to attention are the ones that interfere with our living our lives out. But surely, he said, we have to understand we all have mistaken beliefs. And it's the same thing in this case. These kids aren't born this way. They're mistaken beliefs. And
right. And
they can
confused.
Be helped.
They're confused. So,
right.
you know, we were talking about gender dysphoria and the push, like with this edict from the DOE and DOJ.
Yes.
So what they're encouraging is, you know, gender dysphoria is a mental disorder, which is, you know, where they're not comfortable with who they were born as, with the sex they were born. So is that this, you know, are they actually encouraging these children or the parents of these children not to seek help for these
kids?
Well,
I think what is happening and the reason that professionals on both sides of the political aisle are concerned is that these children are being led down only one path. We're affirming them as if they are born this way, this is who they are, when that's not true. And what we're doing is we're basically guaranteeing that these kids are going to go from having confused thinking all the way through to cross-sex hormones and possibly surgery. That's irreversible.
Which, yeah.
So it's because, and this is where, as I said, professionals on both sides of the political aisle are just horrified and truly outraged. There is no solid science that gender dysphoria is inborn, number one. Number two, even if gender dysphoria was something you're born with, 80 to 95% of the kids outgrow it.
Right, right.
When they're not affirmed and when they are allowed to go through puberty.
Right.
And so those are the two very important things. I'll say the most important thing is, even if gender dysphoria is inborn, and there's no evidence it is, but even if it were, everybody agrees that in a day and age when there was no affirmation, and a day and age in which these gender dysphoric children were allowed to go through puberty,
right,
80 to 95% outgrew it.
Yeah. In fact, number five here, you have even higher statistics according to the DSM-5.
Which is very interesting because true. The most often, as I reviewed the literature, the most often quoted statistic I saw was 80 to 95%. If you go to the DSM-5, and I think in our statement,
right,
I actually list the
98% of gender-confused boys. Yeah, 98% of gender-confused, 98. I mean, that's gender-confused,
right,
boys.
Depending on the study. You can go to the DSM-5, and you can, through simple math, you can calculate from, they talk about rates of persistence. And so through simple math, you can calculate that close to 98% of boys may actually resolve. So it's outrageous to do what they're doing. They're even targeting girls who would have been tomboys, in a sense,
mm-hmm.
and encouraging them to think that, oh, maybe
they're
I'm
boys.
Not a girl.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not a girl. And then leading them, as I said, down this path of, hey, you know, you can impersonate the opposite sex. This is who you really are.
Yeah, yeah. And so doing, they would, you know, encourage them to get puberty blockers, which your fourth point here, the fourth point in the statement is puberty is not a disease.
Right.
And puberty blocking hormones can be dangerous.
Right. And here's how they're, you know, now the other side says, oh, Dr. Critella, you're lying because the puberty blockers are reversible. They just have to stop them. Which I say, okay, you show me a kid who stopped them. They can't. Kids who are taught to impersonate the opposite sex from, like, kindergarten,
right,
come to the point where it's just before puberty. They're terrified of, let's say it's a little boy who's been dressing like a girl all those years.
Mm-hmm.
He's terrified of the fact that his penis is getting bigger, that his
mm-hmm.
testicles are growing,
mm-hmm.
that he's going to have a deeper voice, an Adam's apple, the whole nine yards. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my. I mean, terrified. Maybe to the point some of these kids want to even try to cut themselves. They're cutting themselves.
Yeah.
And so the doctors say, oh, we can help you take puberty blockers. This will keep you from developing. So you can continue to impersonate the opposite sex. And, you know, free from distress, you can think more about whether you're a boy or a girl. That's what the other side says. Well, we can all tell them what's going to happen, and we know it has because they've published a study. The kids stay on the puberty blockers and say, yes, I want to keep impersonating the opposite sex.
Yeah.
I really am a girl. I'm not the boy I was born. Give me estrogen.
Wow.
When they go from those puberty blockers to the estrogen,
which is,
they
is that
become
a cross-sex? Is that
sterilized.
Oh, really?
And this is very important because it's being suppressed even in the medical literature. If you take a little boy, put him on puberty blockers, he never goes through puberty. He
mm-hmm.
he doesn't mature those
so
testes
he is
and sperm.
And same thing.
And then
girls.
He goes from the puberty blockers to estrogen. He will now become sterile.
A sterile
as
male.
A minor.
But still not a sterile male and not a female.
That's,
I mean,
right. And if you take a little girl who has been saying, oh, mommy, I was born a boy, and you put her on puberty blockers before she goes through puberty, she will never make eggs. And she thinks about, well, who am I really? Well, gee, I've been impersonating a boy all these years. I've always felt I was a boy. Yeah, give me testosterone.
Wow.
She goes from puberty blockers to testosterone. She is now sterile for life.
So rather than deal with the underlying issue or issues that these children are dealing with, they are encouraged to act out who they are not.
Right.
But who they think they are.
And that's why in our statement, I say that gender ideology harms children. I call it child abuse, to teach children that the chemical and surgical impersonation of the opposite sex is normal and healthful. It is not normal, and it is not healthful.
Plus, it's teaching them, I mean, we have a drug epidemic in this nation, so it's teaching them to rely upon drugs to fulfill their desire to be the opposite sex.
Right. And these, so the puberty blockers, as I say, even though the puberty blockers are reversible, it halts the maturation of the body.
Yeah.
They stop growing. They have, their bone density stops. Their brain maturity is frozen.
So it's not a matter of them just stopping puberty, but it stops their growth. I mean, you're going through,
right.
You know.
That, and this is what people don't realize. Puberty is not just about getting hair on your face if you're a boy. But puberty is about those hormones, those normal pubertal hormones. They literally organize the development of the brain, and they put you through your growth spurt. So these little kids on the puberty blockers, they're missing out on normal, healthful development. And their friends are going through it. So you've got a pre-pubertal boy who's dressed like a girl, pretending to be a girl, on puberty blockers, and all of his classmates are going through puberty. They're growing in height, and they're becoming normal boys or normal, bigger, healthier girls. And this little child, this little boy who was dealing with confusion is now on the puberty blockers. He still looks like, or he still is, a prepubertal boy disguised as a little girl.
It will never change.
Until he goes on to cross-sex hormones to try and be, to try and look like the opposite sex he wants to be.
Wow.
So it's truly, this is
why. It is truly child abuse.
It's abusive. It is. It's leading kids down a path that is harmful in so many ways, psychologically and physically. The cross-sex hormones, physically, those cross-sex hormones, as I put in the statement, they've got cardiovascular effects, you know, and that's on top of the infertility. It's craziness.
It is crazy, and I can't help, you know, feel extremely sorry for these kids who are buying into this stuff. And we now have a government who's forcing schools, or attempting to force schools, under threat of losing federal dollars, you know, to comply with this.
It's truly an ideology. It is truly an ideology.
Yeah.
And there are 40 gender clinics across the nation, and there is not one. You would think, okay, because everyone talks about in medicine, oh, we want to be evidence-based.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there is not one study in the entire world that has taken, let's say, a group of, let's say, just 100 kids in the entire world with this problem. There's not one study that has looked at these kids with different forms of psychotherapy to try and evaluate, gee, what might work best with them psychologically. Nope, that doesn't exist. There is also not one large-scale study proving that these medications are safe. But nevertheless, 40 clinics across our nation are doing this day in and day out with children.
As far as prescribing puberty blockers and doing the surgeries, as far as removing...
Puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones, yes.
And encouraging parents
As far as the surgeries go, girls can get their breasts removed at age 16 so long as they have been on the testosterone for a year. Age 16.
And then when she's 32, she may decide she's really a woman, and there's nothing, the damage
there's nothing
been.
You can do.
Oh,
and not even that. I mean, and the other piece of it is there are teenagers, there are individuals who transition, who went through this as teenagers and then got into their 20s and were just devastated.
So
So not even that far out, okay? Like they changed. They went through the hormones and the surgery in their teen years.
And then in their twenties,
desperately wanted to undo everything.
But they're silent.
Also mentioned
in number seven here that the rates of suicide are 20 times greater among adults who use cross-sex hormones and undergo sex reassignment surgery, even in Sweden, which is among the most LGBT-affirming countries. And I think, you know, Dr. McHugh has also confirmed that with what was going on in Johns Hopkins.
Yeah.
So what can parents do, you know, in this whole lunacy world we live in, what can parents do? You know, you mentioned that if a family has a child who thinks of the opposite sex, then, yes, definitely take them to a therapist. But if the therapist says, yes, let this child continue impersonating the opposite sex, just basically tell the guy, forget it, we'll find someone else.
We'll get another opinion.
Right. We'll get a second opinion. Is there anything else parents can do with this whole situation?
With this whole situation, I really think it's going to, and when I say whole situation, I'm not even speaking about just the transgender issue in the school, but, you know, you could say the whole sex ed,
the whole sex ed issue
in the school, the Common Core.
Yeah.
These are our children. I think parents have got to get together, and I'm speaking now as a parent, not because the College of Pediatricians does not have a statement on this, but speaking as a parent of four children and a pediatrician who loves children, I think we as parents have to take our kids back. And I think you have a keep your child home from school day. And I think that is the only thing that I think will make the establishment wake up and listen.
For sure.
I would love to see a massive pull your child out of school campaign on the same day across the country.
As a day of silence.
Right.
That's
I mean, the other side has the day of silence, right?
So I know they do that.
That's really and truly what it is. Are these our children, or do they belong to the government?
I think the government thinks more and more that the kids belong to them, and that's I think why we have this edict handed down.
Because more people have been asking, well, what do we do? What do we do? I mean, yes, you can fight, you can try and sue. That's all well and good.
Yeah.
But I think in addition, the bottom line here is our children belong to us.
Absolutely.
And I think that is one thing that might send the message loud and clear, is to have a hold your child out of school across the nation.
Yeah, that would definitely send the message. How can folks contact you guys?
Yes, go ahead. You can contact us on the web at acpeds.org. acpeds.org. Also at bestforchildren.org.
Four, and four is all spelled out?
The number four, best4, B-E-S-T, numeral 4, children.org.
And the other one was acpeds.org for the American College of Pediatricians. Almost blew it that time again. Hey, thanks so much for being with us. This has been really, really great. We definitely need this information as to, you know, how to look at this issue and better understand what's going on and how we can respond to it. So you guys keep up the good work. I really appreciate
Thank you so much. And you're right. It's very important
for
all of us to be aware of the facts.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks again. You guys keep up the good work.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
Have a good day.
You too.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.